I'm Jacob Kinberg, and you are listening to Salty Cinema. It has been over a year since my last episode. I'm sorry for that. I have no excuse. I've been working. You know, I got a little one at home. My daughter Rose is 2.5 now. Just started potty training last week. So, you know, things are crazy. We moved here to Nashville 2 years ago, right after I started the podcast. And I don't know. I guess I kind of ran out of people that I wanted to talk to under the old format. Originally, I wanted Salty Cinema to be a show where I could talk to Christians in the film industry who are doing cool things. And it turns out there are not very many Christians doing cool things in the industry. That's not true. There are. I mean, it is true. There aren't very many, but there are some, but I kind of ran out of people to talk to, people that, I mean, there are a lot more that I would like to talk to that I know are Christians in the industry, but I have not been able to get a hold of them. So, it became kind of difficult booking guests, and beyond not having a big pool to pull from, I also had trouble scheduling people and just making it happen, especially now living here in Nashville. And I'm not against doing over the phone interviews, although I do prefer to do them in person. So in light of all that, I want to change the format a little bit of this show. It'll still be called Salty Cinema because I'm a Christian. So anything that I say about film or whatever is going to come from a Christian worldview. Salty being a reference to scripture and Christians being salt and light on the earth. You could look up that reference sometime if you want to. But I am not going to limit myself to only talk to Christian filmmakers or Christian artists. I want to talk to whoever I'm interested in talking to, whether they are a musician or a filmmaker. The focus will still be on cinema, because that's mainly what I want to talk about. Even with people who are not filmmakers, I love to hear their perspective on movies and culture in general. So we're going to broaden this thing out a little bit. And I think I'm going to try and do, we were doing one episode a month in the old format. I'd like to try to do more episodes than that and just talk to my friends and whoever I want to hear their perspective on movies, and we'll talk and we'll have a good time. I hope you will join us for this first episode back in this new format. I thought it would be good to have you guys learn a little bit more about me. I was recently on my cousin Ketch Smith's podcast, as the one being interviewed for once. And he's got a great podcast called Coffee and People. I suggest you check it out. But yeah, he interviewed me. We kind of got into a bit of my history and my experience in the film industry, and I thought you guys might like to hear about all that. So without further ado, here is my conversation with Ketch Smith.
What's up, everyone? I'm your host, Ketch Smith. This is the Coffee and People podcast. Today's episode is with my cousin, Jacob Kinberg. Jacob is a film director, editor, and producer in Nashville, Tennessee. I spent the week in Nashville a few weeks ago and got to stay with Jacob and his wife, Ashlyn, and their daughter, Rose. They are awesome. I love them. Jacob is hilarious, genuine, creative, and talented. He studied film and Bible at Biola University in California. And we had a conversation about his career, how he got into film directing and editing and producing, his favorite movies, and how he has seen God move in his life. We did not drink coffee because it was super late in the evening and Jacob doesn't like coffee. But since we were in Nashville, my favorite shop is in Nashville. And so shout out to Barista Parlor. Check them out. If you are in Nashville, in the area, go see them. Grab a cup of coffee. Enjoy the best cup you will ever have. You can also order coffee from them online, which is what I do sometimes. And so you can do that if you want to. But thank you so much for listening. Here is my conversation with Jacob Kinberg.
Jacob, thanks for being on the podcast.
Yeah. You're not a big coffee guy.
No, I don't like coffee.
You don't even have coffee in your house.
No.
Why?
I don't drink tea either.
What is it about coffee that you don't like?
I'll tell you what I do like.
Okay.
It's the smell.
Yeah, the smell's great.
But I don't like hot liquids.
Really?
Of any... kind.
Nothing.
Like I don't like soup. I will do hot chocolate, but okay, the hot chocolate's probably the only one. But I won't do it often because every time I do, I burn myself. I'm incapable of drinking or having a hot liquid and not burning my tongue. Right. So I'm like, whoa, how do people do this? I don't understand.
Oh, Justin, my brother-in-law, he'll make coffee and then he'll wait till it's ice cold to drink it. And I'm like,
if I do go to like a coffee shop with someone, I'll get like a Frappuccino, you know, Java chip.
Yeah.
Which is basically just a milkshake. But
so you like not even iced coffee or cold brew or anything like that?
No. Yeah. I studied abroad in Japan when I was in college and they drink tea.
Yeah,
you know, for everything all the time, and I, because of me, in the history of the school, in the cafeteria, they'd always only brought out tea for meals, and because of me, they started putting a pitcher of water there. That's the only one that did that just for me.
That's hilarious. Yeah. So, what's your drink of choice if you're like going out to a restaurant?
I really only drink two things.
Okay,
water and Diet Coke.
Really.
Or Diet Pepsi. I'm not super.
You don't have like
partial, but
preference.
But I like to have a soft drink with food.
Yeah.
I don't drink, you know, throughout the day.
But like at dinner, you'll.
But for food, I want to have a soft drink, and in between, I'm just drinking water all day.
Yeah. Okay. I like that. Yeah. So you and Ashlyn, your wife, and your daughter Rose, y'all been in Nashville for 2 years now, right?
Yeah, it'll be
almost 2 years.
It'll be 2 years in December.
What's your favorite thing about Nashville? I know you're still getting used to it, but
yeah, I really like. I really like how we were talking about this the other day. How unassuming everyone is. Like, there's a lot of people here who are doing really cool things and you would never know.
Yeah.
Who, you know, they're just doing their thing and they're not showy about the cool things that they're doing.
Right.
Everyone is super just chill. And, that's something I really like.
Yeah. That is cool. Cause I was in a coffee shop in Franklin and saw someone, a Christian musician, and he was just like enjoying a cup of coffee, talking to someone, and no one was bothering him. I was like, okay, I'm not going to be that guy that's like having a fan moment, you know?
Yeah.
And not that he would like hate me for it, but I thought that was cool. Like, no one bothered him. He wasn't afraid to go out in public, you know? He was just, everybody let him do his thing.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Yeah. You're not from Nashville or Tennessee.
No.
Where would you say you're from? Because I know you've moved around a lot.
I would say I'm from Minnesota.
Okay.
I consider Minnesota home. I was born in California, like Northern California, Fresno. We were only there for like a month after I was born, and then lived in Arkansas till I was 6, and then we moved to Minnesota. And so 6 to 18 till I graduated, yeah. I was in Minnesota.
Minnesota.
So that's where the bulk of the growing up was done.
Yeah. So you make movies, producer, edit, direct, all those things, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
When did you feel like that was what you wanted to do? Like you had the desire to make movies and direct and do all that?
Well, I've been making movies since I was 8.
Really?
My parents had a VHS camcorder. That's when I got a hold of it.
Yeah.
And me and my sister would make videos together all the time. I've always loved movies. I don't remember a time when I didn't love movies. So that was always the goal. I think when I was probably like 13 is when I was like really like, okay, this is the career. Like I'm not going to be a baseball player.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to make movies. And so that's when I made my first, like what I would call like my first legitimate short film where I actually wrote a script. And cause all the other stuff, you know, we were always just like improvising and you know, there were stories, but it was all just like, there was no editing. It was really just shoot stuff. So when I was 13, that's when I actually had a friend who knew how to use editing software, cut it for me. And you know,
that's awesome.
That was like the first like legitimate thing.
Do you still remember what that was?
Oh yeah, you can see it. It's out there. I'm not the kind, you know, some people they only want to show the best thing that they've ever done, and anything that led up to that they want to keep hidden.
Yeah.
I am the opposite. Like I'll show you anything that I do, and that's probably to my detriment because it's like tons of horrible stuff. But I don't know. When I graduated high school, I made a DVD that had like pretty much everything I had made, you know, throughout high school. And I like sometimes to go back and look at the trajectory, you know, and watch all the old stuff. And you go year to year, and you're like, and sometimes I'm like, I was better then because I don't know. There are some things that I watched that I made when I was in high school that there was a lot more just interesting ideas. Like I was trying things. Yeah. I was like, I don't know, more experimental than I am now. Yeah. And I look at that stuff and I'm like, man, like you were really doing it. But I don't, you know, so it's cool to see that. And obviously it is embarrassing.
Right.
Some of it, but I don't know.
That's hilarious.
I don't mind putting that out there and letting people see.
What do you think that is that people don't like to show all the crappy stuff and just show what is good?
Because you judge someone pretty quickly on what you see. You know, a lot of directors will wait for that right first movie because they will be movie that comes out will be the thing that people are judging you on. On the other hand, I feel like if you make a bunch of stuff, you're really only going to get judged on the thing that actually comes to prominence because no one is going to like if I eventually make something that is actually a cultural moment or something that you know people then maybe they'll go back, but there's no you know they'll still be talking about that thing because that's the thing that they first came across. So, I don't know, I guess people do think like, well, I want to come out the gate and be known for something that is something I'm proud of, you know?
Yeah.
But,
that makes sense.
You know, but other people, you kind of grow with them, you know, like, especially now with YouTube stars, like you can literally go back and look at their first YouTube video and, you know, you see, like, Bo Burnham, he just, you know, made a movie this year that's, you know, people are getting a lot of critical praise and, you know, he came up as this YouTube thing but nothing in that past gives you any kind of indication of that person made that movie.
Yeah.
This movie. 'Cause it's so different, and you know, it's a completely different thing, and that's what people will talk
right.
about. You know,
yeah, that makes sense.
But yeah, I'm not. I get why people mm-hmm. want to just like put their best foot forward.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. So, you felt like that's what you wanted to do at 13.
Yeah.
And then you graduated high school. And then what'd you do after that?
I went to film school at Biola University.
Is that in California?
In California, yeah. It's like La Mirada, which is, it's LA County,
okay.
but it's like 25 miles south yeah. of almost Orange County.
So why'd you choose Biola?
I wanted to go to a film school where I wanted to go to a Christian school that had a film program,
okay.
and there aren't very many of those.
Yeah.
So I wanted to study the Bible and study film at
yeah.
the same time. And Biola was one that just, I had never heard of it, but I was just searching for Christian
yeah.
schools that had film programs and came upon it and went out to LA with my parents to check it out. And I didn't apply anywhere else. Like
really?
I liked it. And I was like, I know I have to be in LA, so
right.
if this is the
that's the place.
The best option, you know. And I loved Biola.
Really?
Man, it was the best.
Did you know anyone before you went there?
No.
Like in LA or
well, our cousin
yeah.
Tim, he moved
out. So he was out there by the time you got there.
He moved out there a year, maybe 2 years before I moved out there.
Okay.
And so he was the only person I knew in LA.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know anyone, but yeah, Biola was just so much fun. Like, I assume, you know, most undergraduate film programs are not
yeah.
very intense, you know, workload wise.
Yeah.
And Biola wasn't. And I just had so much fun. Like, school. You know, for me, like, I've never really had to put much effort in to get good grades.
Uh-huh.
And I always just cared about, you know, maintain good grades and do the work that I have to do
right.
that and then have fun.
Yeah.
You know, and for me, college was like a breeze. Like,
yeah.
I kind of wish, you know, I think sometimes should I have taken some harder classes
yeah.
and pushed myself a little more. But, you know, I spent so much time outside of class working on my own stuff
yeah.
at the same time. Like even the film projects I was doing, I didn't really care about the assignments that were actually for the class. I just
yeah.
I was more interested in the things I was doing outside of class and being able to use the equipment. And
right.
really for me, Biola was, I mean, on the Bible side, like incredible professors
right.
and yeah, it was awesome to study. And you know, everyone is a minor in biblical theology.
Yeah.
So whatever your major is, you're a minor in that.
That's cool.
But yeah, for me, it was all about the people that I met and
yeah.
the opportunities that I got because of where Biola is and the Alumni Association. And just like that to me was what was most important.
Yeah.
You know, like
yeah.
having that time to get to know people and experiment and
mm-hmm.
with different projects. And, you know, the best thing about film school is like everyone kind of starts off going in saying they want to be a director, but because you work in all the different positions, you can kind of see like, well, I really like doing this thing.
Yeah.
And people kind of end up spreading out and finding
right.
the thing that they like doing, and they, you know, they don't feel like they have to be the one
right
that's the vision
mm-hmm.
behind it, you know.
Was that what you wanted? Like, you wanted to be the director?
Yeah, yeah. So I was just like that,
mm-hmm.
and but even, you know, I saw that of all the different parts of the process, editing was the thing that I liked the most. I loved all of it, but
yeah,
editing was the thing that I was like, okay, you know, if I have to do something else, if it's going to take a while before someone will let me direct,
right,
I'm going to edit.
Yeah.
So that's, and I think that I got clarity on that. I kind of already knew that in high school because I was doing a lot of editing. I learned how to use Final Cut. In high school, I had like a career development class where I got to just work on my own movies and stuff. So I kind of already knew that, but it solidified for me in college. Yeah.
What is it about editing that like just makes you love it or makes you want to do it?
I love that you you have all the elements there to put it together.
Yeah.
You have everything you need. And when you put them together, then you get to see the thing. You know, like every other step of the way, you're like, okay, I'm writing, but I don't know what it's going to end up being. And I finished the script now, but now it's in someone else's hands. And you're shooting, and you're like, oh, that was a cool shot. I like what we got, but will it work? Will it come together? I don't know. And in the editing room, you get to see it really come together and be finalized.
Yeah.
You know, you're the final rewrite, they say.
Right.
You know.
That's cool.
So I love seeing it getting finished.
Yeah.
You know, really coming together.
That is pretty cool.
And I think I also, you know, it's fun being on set. It's fun shooting, but it can also be really stressful and there's this like overwhelming time crunch all the time.
Yeah.
And the edit room, you can just kind of relax and you can take your time. You could spend a whole day just figuring out how to transition from one scene to another and trying different shots. And, you know, depending on what you're cutting, sometimes you do have those same time constraints, but in general, theoretically you have so much more, it's so much easier to just sit back and work with it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then so you graduated college.
Uh-huh.
And then what'd you do after college? Like, were you trying to get on set with people or like what did that look like? Like, were you working on anything?
Yeah,
you were still doing your own stuff.
Most people, their senior year or somewhere before their senior year, they get an internship that then can turn into a job.
Yeah.
The summer before my senior year, I broke my, I broke a couple of fingers playing basketball.
Okay.
Maybe just one finger. I don't remember.
A couple fingers make it sound better.
All I know is I had to have a cast that went on my whole arm.
Oh,
so I was like, what? You know, maybe that's just what happens when you break a finger. But anyway, so I had this cast. I could not edit.
Uh-huh.
I literally couldn't hold a mouse, you know. So I guess I could have done it one-handed. But anyway, I used that as an excuse and did not do my internship. So I came out of school not really having any kind of leads.
Uh-huh.
You know, Tim was there. He could get me PA work, production assistant, which is what most people start doing.
Yeah.
You know, that's the lowest position on any film set. You can get it with no experience. And, you know, you learn everything you need to know from doing that because you're touching everything. So I did some PA work. I got my very first thing actually through a guy who had graduated from Biola a couple of years before was for a Vince Vaughn Reese Witherspoon movie called Four Christmases.
No way.
And I was a driver. I drove Vince Vaughn's dad to set every day for a week.
That's incredible.
I guess he gives his dad like little bit parts in a lot of his movies. So that was that was my first gig. And I would PA some, you know, commercials and you know, just short things. I didn't ever have like a long-term PA gig, but I got an editing job through Craigslist. There was a company called Ring of Fire that was like a commercial post house, visual effects and stuff for commercials in Santa Monica. And the owner had a friend who was starting a mixed martial arts league. And he needed someone to be like the video or the editor for all the stuff they were shooting for this mixed martial arts thing. So I was that guy. So I was working in the Ring of Fire offices, but I wasn't. Sometimes they'd bring me in on Ring of Fire stuff, but mostly I was cutting these MMA
yeah.
fighting right. things. But it was cool because the guy who was starting this league was a pothead and was never there and didn't care about anything that I was doing. So I was really left alone, and I ended up, you know, I'd get my work done for him, but then I'd have plenty of time to work on my own stuff, which I was always trying to do. So I cut a feature documentary during that year. And it was just, it was nice. I had that extra time, but I was making enough money that I could pay my bills. And so I did that for a year. And that, you know, the economy crashed at the end of 2008. And they fired me from that job because everyone was just like losing money. And since then, you know, there's just one after the other, you know, you get editing. I worked as a freelance editor, getting editing jobs, you know, based on, you know, this person knows this person and, you know, the classic who you know. Things different, you know, but that first one really was just a Craigslist thing, which is kind of crazy. But yeah, but one thing that was good about that, I was with the time because those, I did this, they had like a MMA, like a, you know, how UFC will have like a particular, night of a bunch of fights and it's like, so it's an event thing. So they had an event thing that was like an hour long pay-per-view thing, and so that technically counted as a TV credit of editing.
Okay.
Even though I mean I didn't really have to do anything like it was pretty simple, but it, for the editors union, it got me what I needed to join the union as an editor, which you know, with only at that age and with that amount of experience, it usually, you know, it takes a lot longer. So it was nice. I was able to get in the union, and to this day, I still have not actually cut a union show, but I've been able to work on union shows as an assistant editor because I got in through that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And then, so this whole time, like you're working on your own stuff.
Yeah. Always trying to get my own, films going. Cause I really, you know, I want to be making my own, but editing was the way that I could pay the bills.
Right.
Yeah.
So what's some stuff that you have done that's like your favorite documentaries, movies, anything?
That I've edited?
Or that you, like your own stuff?
My own stuff.
Yeah.
So my, so the documentary that I was cutting while at that job in 2008, it never saw the light of day because the person that I was making it about decided that they did not want that footage released. And I, you know, I, for a couple of years, because I was really excited about it.
Yeah.
Like basically the story is he, the year before, had brought a bunch of people from school out to Michigan to shoot this, like Lord of the Rings, Chronicles of Narnia style fantasy movie. He was trying to do a fantasy movie for like $50,000. And, you know, they had these crazy sets and like good costumes. Yeah. And it's like, he was really trying to do it. And it, the shoot was just a disaster. Like all these things went wrong.
Yeah.
And it was like just tons of crazy stuff that, and so my friend, he had been shooting what was supposed to be like the for the behind the scenes, like DVD release. And eventually instead he got all this great footage of this production, you know, going horribly wrong. And so I was cutting all that footage into a feature about what had happened.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I guess the guy was really embarrassed and he just didn't want people to see that this had happened. But I got to a point where it was a watchable, like rough cut, and I started showing people because I was really excited about it. And some people at my church in LA started passing it around, and it kind of became this, like, I couldn't release it officially, but underground, all these people were watching it and liking it. And so that so that would have been the first
yeah.
thing if it ever would have
right.
come out. But after I got fired from Ring of Fire, the next year I worked on Extreme Makeover Home Edition
okay.
as a casting editor. So they would, like, you know, families would send in, or families would want to be on the show. Certain ones that they liked, they'd go shoot some footage with them, and okay. then I'd cut together like a little thing that then the studio would watch and say, "Okay, let's cast that family."
Oh, I didn't know how that. I didn't know how that worked.
Yeah, and I did that for almost a year, and then I was like really wanting to make my first feature film by the time I was 24.
Okay,
because well, maybe it was 23. Robert Rodriguez is a director. He did Sin City and
okay.
Desperado, and he has a famous book about the making of his El Mariachi, which was yeah. his breakout movie. He made it for $7,000.
Wow.
And he made it when he was 23 or 24, and I'd read that book in college, and I was like, I want to
yeah.
make my first feature by then. And so I was, you know, I was going to turn 24, and I was like, I got to right. make my first right. feature before this. And at the time, there was kind of a popular thing in film, like a certain type of independent movie that was made really cheaply. It was called mumblecore, and it was like usually, you know, 20-somethings, dialogue heavy,
yeah.
not a lot of plot, you know, one or two locations, something that could be made really cheaply yeah. like that. And so I thought of a idea of something that I could make in that vein. And it was, you know, me and my sisters, we had made those videos when we were
right.
young. I was like, how could I use those somehow? And so I fabricated a story of brother and sister who we basically played ourselves. Like they
right.
used to make videos together, and they've kind of become estranged, and they end up as 20 somethings back in their
right.
the house they grew up in. They find those old videos and they try to start making videos together uh-huh. again as adults. So I went to Minnesota and we shot it, you know, no crew, just me and my sister,
yeah.
like a couple other guys that were in it. And then if you weren't, in the scene, you'd be holding the camera,
yeah, right.
you know, and I didn't have any money to buy a camera. So I put it on a credit card and then returned it after 30 days before 30 days. Cause we were able to film it in less than 30 days. So I think I made the whole thing, including my plane ticket back to Minnesota for like $1,000.
Wow.
And so that was called Channel News. That came out in 2010. And so that was my first feature, and I, you know, took it to a couple of film festivals, uh-huh. and it was really just like, I want to make something.
Right.
So now I can say I've made a film, uh-huh. you know?
Yeah.
And I still like, you know, that would be an example of like, not, you know, what I'm saying, like, I didn't try to put the best foot forward. Like, that would have to be my calling card, even though I'm sure I could make something better than that if I actually had a crew. And
yeah.
you don't make a movie for $1,000. Like,
right.
you know. But I just wanted to make something.
Yeah.
So I'm glad I did. And I still think, like, I'm not, like, eager to show people that, but I'm also not afraid of them watching it. Like,
right.
I don't think it's horrible.
Or,
like, it yeah. works. Like, it's a movie. It's not great. It's kind of like you can't be mad at it. Like,
right.
you don't,
yeah.
you know, it's like, it's nothing special, yeah. but it's also not bad, you know. So I made that in 2010, and then back to, you know, editing other people's stuff,
yeah.
assistant editing. I started to work on more, bigger movies as an assistant editor, and really figured out that, like, assistant editing is usually the, you know, that's kind of the path. Like, you're an assistant
yeah.
editor for a while, and then the editor might let you cut some scenes, and then eventually they might recommend you to
right.
someone else who needs an editor on a lower level movie, and that's kind of the path that you take. And I was on that path, but I really, really did not like assistant editing.
Really?
Like, it's a very different job. It's
yeah.
it's super technical. It's, you're kind of blamed for, you know, if the computer, anything goes wrong with the computer, and, you know, I don't know. It's just, I didn't feel like I was suited for it. It wasn't, there's no creative thing to it. I was able to do it, but I always felt like I was like inadequate, you know, in some way. You don't like feeling that way when you're doing a job, you know, like you're always like unsure of yourself, you know?
Yeah.
Which I've never felt that way about editing. I've always felt pretty confident that like
that's what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, or just like do, or... I have the skill for this. Right. Like I know how to do it, and I've had super challenging projects where there are days where I don't feel that way. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Right.
But in general, overall, I feel like I know what I'm doing. So I was doing films, and then I was able to put some money together for the next feature, which was a feature documentary.
Uh-huh.
And just before that, I got married. And so that was the first thing that me and Ashlyn did together. And we produced that together, and we raised like $60,000 on Indiegogo to get that made. So that's a jump from 1,000 to then a 60,000. But it's still 60,000 is not, you don't make movies for 60,000. Like, that's not enough money. So I still feel like I haven't been able to make anything that has been made in a legitimate way. Like, I haven't really got to be a director who actually has a crew and actually has the money to do it right.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm still feeling like I'm proud of the things that I'm making for really cheap, but it's not, I don't think I can say yet that I've made something that actually shows you like, this is what I can do, because I haven't worked with that could be an excuse, you know. I mean, I'm sure more talented people can make things with less, you know. But I also think it takes a lot of money to make good things, you know. Like, filmmaking is, that's just how it is. Yeah. Like, if you give Ridley Scott $1,000, I'm sure he'll still make something awesome, but it won't be as good as, it won't be Gladiator, you know?
Yeah.
I don't remember what the original question was.
That was good.
you asked what are things that I'm proud of.
Yeah. Like,
I can say that all those things, you know, so I've made two features and a few short films, and, you know, usually I like something right after I finish it, and then as the years go by, I get less and less excited about it. But in general, I can say that I think they're good, but I haven't made that thing that I can really say that I'm super proud of yet.
Yeah.
So.
What is it about film and movies and documentaries that draws you in? Like
what do I look for?
Yeah, or like, why did you choose that route? You know, like, because you're passionate about it, you believe in it. So what is it about movies that speaks to you or inspires you?
Well, I don't think there's anything that moves me more than
a movie.
Well, then story, I guess you could take it a level back. Storytelling in general, it can be in a lot of forms, but I think movies for me are the greatest form of storytelling and of artistic expression, because it mixes all the arts
right
in one thing. Uh-huh. And so I've never been moved by anything more than I've been moved by a movie.
Yeah.
Music is a close second.
Right.
You know, but all the other forms of expression don't stir me like a movie does.
Yeah.
So that for me was always like, this does something to me, which, yeah. And I know it does something to a lot of people.
Yeah,
so
sure.
it is the thing that if I feel like I have something to communicate, movies are the way to communicate it, you know? And I do feel like I have something to communicate.
Yeah.
So that's how I want to do it.
Yeah. What movie has like the best movie that has like spoken to you, that has like resonated with you in your life?
Oh man. there's so many movies.
Yeah.
Huh. I'm like, so many movies are just like flashing in my mind. I'm trying to think, like, because here's the thing, like, my relationship with Christ is the most important thing to me, and that didn't come from movies. Mm. You know, like there's nothing in film that has, I guess there are things in films that have affected me as a person in a lot of ways, mm-hmm. but no film, you know, no film has brought me closer to Christ, you know?
Yeah.
And so that,
you think that's a good thing or a bad thing or neither?
I mean, I don't know if a film can do that. I feel like movies and storytelling are really about like creating questions and like stirring the pot of humanity, stirring up what it's all about in lots of different ways and making you ask questions about who you are and what does this mean and why do I feel this, and you know, which for me, Jesus is the answer to all those things, but we continue to wrestle with them. We continue to ask those questions and think through scenarios, and film is the ultimate thing for creating apathy and like to see yourself in someone else's shoes and you know, like, I don't think there would ever be a movie made about my life because it's not movie worthy, but like I can watch all these stories and I can live these lives, and you know, so when I think about the movies that have affected me, nothing has affected me like Christ, so it's hard to even like compare them to that. But I guess I would just say, like, there are just stories that have made me think, like, feel things at the time that maybe don't always last, but in that moment they did something.
Right.
And I'm like really into, I guess the word is like tone, you know, like a movie can have a, just like this undefinable essence of like, you know, that, what it's like to be driving at night and listening to a great song.
Yeah.
And you're like,
yeah,
I don't know. What is that? What do you call that? But a movie might capture that feeling, like driving at night, whatever that is, you know, and I'll think about that and that, you know?
Yeah.
So horrible answer, but I'm trying, you would think that if I chose to spend my life doing this one thing, I could think of one movie that actually impacted me in a real way. I don't know. Maybe it's just a culmination of all these stories that have made me who I am. Like,
right.
have made me think about what it's like. You know, if you experience a bunch of other people's lives,
yeah,
and you're doing that all the time, like, that has to make you into something different, you know, like those experiences add up to who I am. Like,
right.
I didn't go through all that, but I've witnessed so much because of film,
yeah,
you know? So I don't know how it has affected me, really.
That's awesome. So does, like, going to movies, does it make you more critical? Like, are you super critical of the movie? Like, for me, when I went to another church, they were super critical and super, like, nitpicky about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so now when I go into a church service, I'm, like, thinking of all the things that need to be better and all the mm-hmm. things that, like, I'm overly critical. So I can't even, like, enjoy this.
Yeah.
This church service, you know, mm-hmm. like, has that happened to you, or can you still go into a movie and just be drawn in and blown away?
Thankfully, I can still get sucked in, like I always have been able to. I do think about those things, but it doesn't keep me from
enjoying it. Yeah, ruining, like, the movie for you or anything mm-hmm. like that.
I mean, I'm definitely aware, but in some ways, it makes me enjoy things more because I'm like, I'm more blown away by the magic somehow, because I know how difficult it is to pull certain things off. And I'm just like, wow, how did they do that? And I know how they did it, but I'm still like, you know, but yeah, I can get in my head sometimes about editing and things that people, like, you know, wouldn't notice things that mm-hmm. like I might get hung up on. But for the most part, I'm just a film lover. So I
just enjoy it.
Yeah.
Even though
I can't name for you a single movie that has had an impact on my life.
Do you have, like, a favorite movie?
Usually I would say my answer to that question is Forrest Gump.
Really?
It has. That's been my answer for a long time, and it's probably not valid anymore. But I just think Forrest Gump has everything you could want in a movie. And I don't know. I love that story. I love that character.
Yep.
But it didn't impact my life.
Yeah,
like, I don't know. Maybe it did, but that's what I'm saying. I'm sure it did impact my life. But I love that movie. I love Paul Thomas Anderson's movies. So
I don't know,
pretty much all of them. So he directed There'll Be Blood and Boogie Nights and Magnolia. He makes darker, dramatic, you know, things that. You know, sometimes you can just get hypnotized mm-hmm. by a movie or by the way a filmmaker does things. It's the same way with Stanley Kubrick. Like, it doesn't even matter what he's deciding to make a movie about. Whatever he's doing, how he's presenting, uh-huh. whatever he's presenting, just, like, sucks me in.
Yeah.
And, like, I can't look away, you know. It's just like I'm in it, and I, you know, I wouldn't say I I don't revisit a ton of his things, but anytime it does, like, if it would ever, like, if The Shining, if I see a clip of The Shining, if I'm, like, somewhere and it comes on, like, I'm just like, I just get sucked in. Yeah, and same thing with Paul Thomas Anderson, like, they just, the way he makes things, just, like, I have to watch.
So are there certain type of movies, I guess a genre of movies that you will not go see, or were you just like, new movies coming out, you, it looks interesting, you want to go see it, you will pretty much see it?
Yeah, there's no genre that I don't. It's just movie by movie.
When like a new movie comes out, are you paying attention to who directed, like, who is the director of the movie, like, who made the film? Yeah. And if it's someone you love, you're going to go see it no matter what.
For sure. Yeah. And I don't, I hate movie trailers so much now that I'll go into a movie and close my eyes
during the
trailers.
Unless so much.
Oh, it just
is that why you don't like it?
It drives me crazy.
I'm like, I don't even see the
movie
anymore.
It's like the entire movie. And
yeah.
But if it's a movie that I like, usually I'm pretty up on what's coming out.
Yeah.
And I can tell you within a second what the trailer is for, even though I haven't seen the trailer yet. And if I know I'm going to watch that movie, then I won't watch the trailer. Mm. If I don't care, then I'll watch the trailer, you know. But, yeah, who directed it means a lot to me. You know, there's been times when, like, there directors I really like and, you know, I'm not interested in what the thing is based on, you know.
Right.
Just the synopsis or whatever, but I'm gonna watch it.
You're going to watch it, anyways, yeah. So your whole career, looking back on your career, how have you seen God at work in your life through movies, film, through what you've been doing, editing and everything?
Mm.
Your 30 plus years of living.
I think there's a few things, but the biggest thing, I really struggle with, just like everyone else, finding my identity in my work and what I've made. Like, if I feel like I've made something good, I feel good.
Yeah.
You know, if it's been too long since I made something, or I see that someone else is further ahead in their career, I feel lousy, you know? And I think God is just continually trying, and I'm not getting it, but trying to teach me that that's not what defines me. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Like, my worth is completely in what Christ has done for me.
Yeah.
And who I am in him. And if I'm trying to get it anywhere else, it's not going to work. Even when I do, if I ever do get to be like some big time director, I'll still feel worthless, you know?
Yeah.
And I know that, you know, intellectually.
Yeah.
But I continue to, you know, my heart continues to think that I have to make something great to be worth anything.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I'm the same way too. I think that, like, if I'm doing a good job in anything that I'm doing, then yeah, God's happy with me and I'm happy and everything's good. But the second I do a terrible job or messed up or whatever, it's like, I'm not even like, it's so quick to change, you know?
Well, and it puts way too much pressure on work.
Yeah.
And what the job is, it can't hold what I'm trying to put into it. And I do that all the time. You know, there's so many editing jobs that I'm just miserable doing them because I feel like they're pointless or like, you know, who cares about this show or this product that I'm doing a commercial for, and what is the point of this? And it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Should I be a missionary? You know, like I'm always asking myself if I should be a missionary or a preacher. I've thought about being a preacher, but that's not what work is supposed to be. It's not supposed to hold your worth, you know? Yeah. And I, you know, it doesn't have to be purposeful in the way that I'm trying to, you know, make it. But that's something I'm continually just all my whole time, like, just always struggling with that. And also, you know, I really want my life to be poured out for Christ, whatever he wants me to do. So if I feel at any point that he does not want me to be a filmmaker, like, I wonder, like, can I give up that dream because I've wanted it so long, and I want it to be true that if tomorrow I felt no, you're not supposed to make movies that I would could walk away. I think I could.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know,
that is a tough question, though. True. Like, wow.
So that, and that's something I think about too. Like, every day I'm just like, I want to be doing, I don't want to be doing anything except what you want me to be doing.
Right.
But I don't always know.
Yeah.
Or most of the time, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, but that's all I care about doing. So I guess for now, all I can go by is like, and it goes to what project should I do as well. Like, beyond just should I even be making movies, what movies and what are the stories that you want me to tell? And continually praying about that and hoping that he'll give me direction. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the last movie I made was in 2014. So it's been 4 years. That drives me crazy. That's been 4 years. Like, I feel like I'm a failure because I haven't made another movie in that amount of time. But I also, I'm not going to be able to do anything unless God makes it happen. Like, I don't, nothing is going to happen. He's going to make things happen when they're supposed to happen. So I hope that I'm just being faithful with whatever he's giving me to do.
Yeah.
And I'm not, you know, working against what he's
wanting
to do with me, you know, but I don't know. That's always the question. Yeah. I'm like, so what is the next project? Yeah. I don't know until he opens certain doors and, you know, makes it go. It's really hard to get a movie made. Like,
I can't
there's
imagine.
So many aspects that go into it even having a chance. And, you know, since 2014, I've had a couple of, like, a few things that I've tried to get going and they just haven't, you know, come together.
Yeah.
So.
Are you, like, do you always have ideas running through your head or you're writing things down? And
constantly.
Really?
Yeah. There's a, I drive Ashlyn crazy because I'm always thinking about some idea.
What about this?
Yeah. Can't get to sleep because I'm laying in bed thinking about things. And And the worst is if I wake up in the middle of the night, I'm not going back to sleep.
Yeah. It's over.
Cause once my mind starts, it's just, it's going. So that is a problem. I'm not really good about writing stuff down though. I do type out drafts sometimes in Gmail and I just have tons of Gmail drafts of things, just little ideas, but I wish I was better about writing stuff down.
Yeah. What would be like, so this is your dream movie right now in the season of life that you're in, you can make your dream movie. What would it be about? Who would be in it? You get to direct it. Is that a loaded question?
Well, yeah, it's difficult. Well, what I'm, there's a few different things, but it would probably be something. It would probably be something like, I'll just say what I would like to make something like.
Yeah.
So there's Fargo is one of my favorite movies of all time. If I could ever make anything like Fargo, that would be a dream come true.
Yeah.
There is a TV show, also Fargo, which was like loosely, you know, connected.
Yeah.
It was kind of like in the Fargo world, but not really. Yeah. And it blew my mind too, as its own thing.
Yeah.
So like, it's not just like the movie, it's its own thing. And I would love to make something like that as well. It's similar vein. So I actually have an idea right now for something that is along those lines that I'm considering making in the Channel News style, you know, like making it for nothing, shooting it around here. Just cause I want to be making stuff.
Yeah.
But then there's part of me, and that part of me is my wife, who says that I should not do that, that I should do it the right way, find the money for it,
yeah,
make it real. If you make it Channel News style, you won't be proud of it. You won't, you know,
yeah,
it won't be the calling card you want. And I think she's wise, but I also,
yeah,
I also don't want to be 50 and still have not made another right. movie. So,
yeah. That's good.
Who would be in it? There's an actor, Michael Shannon.
Okay.
That I love, who I would want to star in it. Yeah.
Do you have like a particular message that you would want to communicate? Or we get across?
I'm really interested in trying to take the parables of Jesus,
yeah,
and making different versions of them,
yeah,
that work in different contexts, and trying to get at why did Jesus tell stories?
Yeah.
Or why did he communicate things in this mm-hmm. particular way? And, you know, I don't think it's that we have to communicate in that same way, or
yeah,
that you can't tell stories in a different way, but I do want to investigate and experiment with why did those stories work? Why did Jesus tell those yeah. stories? And if I make something that is an offshoot of that, what will that bring about?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I'm interested in,
yeah, I do think yeah. it's interesting though, that Jesus spoke in story, like he told stories, and
yeah.
how powerful stories are to us. Like that's, yeah. stories hold weight,
yeah.
you know, like I want to hear people's story. Like, tell me your story. Like, what happened to you in your life? Why did you get to where you are today? Like,
yeah,
stories hold weight.
And the other thing that I love, testimonies.
Yeah.
And I could make movies the rest of my life that every movie is just someone else's
really?
Testimony. Like that would be,
yeah,
that'd be fine with me. There's so many amazing stories
yeah.
of people coming to Christ and being saved, and you know, I don't think you'd run out of
yeah.
material.
Oh,
but no
definitely.
One, I don't think, yet has figured out how to do it well on film.
Yeah.
Like for whatever reason, it just doesn't translate,
mm-hmm.
and I want to figure out
yeah.
how to do that too.
Yeah.
Because awesome. I mean, I can read a testimony and be super moved,
right?
And I guess I've watched some things and been moved, but
yeah,
I don't know. It's never really, you know, hit me the way that when someone shares their testimony before being baptized or something like that,
mm-hmm.
it's just like, why can't I capture this
yeah.
somehow? You know?
Yeah, that is interesting.
But.
Well, Jacob, thanks for doing this.
Yeah, no problem.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We have three final questions.
Okay.
We end every episode with these three questions. First, what are your three favorite things in life right now?
Right now?
It could be absolutely anything. Serious or not serious or
okay.
anything.
Curly fries?
Really?
I love curly fries. Not
where do you
not
get
because they're curly,
but
the seasoning.
Yeah, yeah. Where do you get your curly fries from?
Arby's.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, those are good. You eat them by themselves? Ketchup? Anything?
I don't use. And I am a big
sauce
person,
guy.
But not for curly fries.
Curly fries
they
are good. They are good on their
anything.
Own.
Yeah.
That's a good answer.
let's see. VidAngel.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
VidAngel has allowed me to watch. So many things that I could not watch, and so it is one of my
favorite things. Is that
what we watched
Jack Ryan on?
Yeah. And, yeah, I love it. I love it. I hope that it can continue.
Yeah.
and I'll say Craig Finn. Craig Finn is a musician.
Okay.
He was a lead singer of a band called The Hold Steady. But there hasn't been a Hold Steady album in a while,
uh-huh.
but he's been doing solo albums.
Okay.
I was late to his last one, which came out last year, but I got it a couple months ago, and I love it.
You know him, or like you're just a fan?
No, no, okay. Yeah, I'm just a fan.
Craig Finn.
Yeah, he's another Minnesota guy, and it would be a dream to work on a movie with him sometime.
Craig Finn.
Yeah.
Second question. If you could travel anywhere in the world, you can go wherever you want to go, where would you go?
Jerusalem.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you ever been?
Nope.
Why do you want to go there?
I want to be, it's the center of the world.
Yeah.
It's where everything
it's where it all started.
Has Yeah.
Well, not really.
Everything
yes.
has gone down. Everything will go down.
Yeah.
I told Ashlyn, I think it would be cool to live our last years there, if
yeah.
possible.
That would be really cool.
Yeah.
So, Jerusalem, I like it. And final question. I want this podcast and my life to be about bringing people together.
Mm-hmm.
And really loving people for who they are and putting aside anything and everything. I just want to love people. So how can we practically love people in our everyday life?
I think by being a good listener. Mm. I think yes. you have to really listen to people and not think about, you know, what you wish they were saying or what you,
yeah.
you know.
Or thinking about your response to yeah. what they're saying, yeah.
Just actually listen.
Yeah.
And that would go a long way. Yeah.
Yeah. That's good.
Thank you, Ketch. It was great talking to him. You should definitely go and check out his podcast, the Coffee and People podcast. You can find it on iTunes. If you like the podcast, go to iTunes and write a review. If you don't like the podcast, don't do anything. And why are you even still listening right now to hear this? Be sure to like us on Facebook. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time on Salty Cinema.